Some question?
Yes, we have some questions from the internet.
From where?
From the internet.
Oh, okay.
I cannot concentrate on my Maha Mantra because I always under the pressure of thoughts about my service. Mm. I need to do this or that, so little time I have and now I spend in chanting mantra. Is such mood and line of thought okay? How to harmonize them and do each part consciously?
Srila Guru Maharaj, this is recorded in Search for Sri Krishna, Reality of the Beautiful. This is a chapter, you know. So. Service of the Holy Name, Nectar of the Holy Name. Service. He says, with this regard, he mentions his meeting with an acharya, or the acharya, of the Madhva school in South India. And he is saying, I'm so busy managing this mat that I don't have time for my mantra and my japa and these things, you know. He's confiding that, to say, you know, my sadhana is suffering to the service demands of this mat. But Srila Guru Maharaj's answer, surprising, he said, I supported him. He, Guru Maharaj, by saying that he means, I supported that position that you could say it may be seen as the outcome of sincere, faithful adherence to Nam and Mantra service engagement. When we first heard Srila Prabhupada explain the Maha Mantra, there was a record album of him chanting, and then and some devotees, they'd heard this so many times, they memorized it, they could give the speech. As explained on the cover of the record album, every last word, they memorized. But we know there are very deep interpretations of the meaning of Maha Mantra, and we bow our heads to them. But here, Srila Prabhupada, in a very simple way, he would say, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, that means Radharani, please engage me in your service. So if on the one hand we could say, for the sake of argument, one is chanting with the aspiration of service engagement and then says, due to so much service engagement, I can't chant. Well, then it can be considered in a favorable light. And even in another context, to take it to an extreme position, Srila Saraswati Thakur said, when he hears that someone had apparently abandoned taking Krishna Nam, this means someone with genuine Vaishnava connection, he said, I'm thinking, due to being overwhelmed by service engagement, they've embraced that position. We could say that is the like extreme view, you know, the parameters of the Mahabhagavata, Sarvapasyad, Bhagavan Bhagavatottama. Anyway, it's not, sees Krishna everywhere and in everything. In the Brihad Bhagavatamritam, Sanatana Goswami Prabhu is the Bhakti Siddhanta Acharya. He presents Brahma this way. Where, because Narada going from the Brahmin, the Shalagram worshipping Brahmins to the South Indian kings, we can say via Puri to Indraloka with puja with heavenly opulence, from Indra, who's little brother, you can say, is Vaman avatar to Brahma, Atmabhu, born from the navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And Brahma presents himself in a similar way, saying, due to managing this universe, I don't have time for mantra and japa so much. But so I'm rather appreciating the position of Mahadev Shiva, who we're told, sitting under his 800-mile-wide banyan tree, is very quiet, and he is there, Digambara, dressed in the directions, we shall say, oblivious, lost in sweet oblivion, no concern for the world. But Satvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam, as he explains to his consort regarding why he apparently disrespected Dukkha or Daksha, saying, my consciousness is irrevocably fixed, concentrated upon the lotus feet of Vasudeva and that seva, and it can't be withdrawn from that plane. Recently, we mentioned with regard to the, it was on the, what did we celebrate? The appearance of Narottam Thakur. Yes. And with reference to the song Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, where it says, Hey more Sampada, say more Bhajana Pujan, Bhajana Pujan, say Vrata, say Tapa, say more Mantra Japa. He's mentioning Bhajan, Pujan, Mantra, Japa, Tapa, all of these things. And one way of interpreting that is that that should be the object of your bhajan, your pujan, your mantra, your japa, your tapa, all of these things. Which means if we were to try, you know, worship, well, spiritual practices, worship, the mantra, the japa, tapa, austerities, vrata, vows. Let the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami be the object of all of this. But another way of interpreting that is that the service, the seva of the lotus feet of Rupa Manjari is the bhajan, the pujan, the mantra, the japa, the tapa, everything. That's what he's saying. The service of your holy lotus feet is all these things for me. Right. Srila Gurudev's disposition is that, and as I've told, this is in the mood, we can say, of Lalita Sakhi, Radha Mukunda Parasambhava Garma Bindu, Nirmanchano Pukurani Krita Deho Laksham, Utunga Sohrida Vishesha Vrishat Pagalbam, Devim Gunai Sulalitam Lalitam Namami. She's saying, my service is to not allow the least disturbance in the upper world, in that plane. So I'm prepared, if necessary, to expand myself. As we've heard, there's the concept of giving your life for a cause, sometimes referred to as the ultimate sacrifice. Right? That's a song. They gave their life for this cause and lauded so much so. But here, she's saying, I'm prepared, deho laksham, to expand into 100,000 forms to do this seva. So, to continue the military example, there's a type of soldiers willing to give their life for the cause. It's very good. It's excellent. What more? Well, Lalita Sakhi shows more. Try and conceive another soldier who expands into 100,000 soldiers. how valuable is that person? So Srila Gurudev, his mood was that Guru Maharaj, he's a substantial Vaishnava. He's capable of engaging in all those things mentioned in a substantial way, bhajan, pujan, mantra, japa, etc. He's qualified to take Krishna Nam. He's saying, my position is to serve him, to not allow the least distraction to enter his plane. And even from a graphic visual of Guru Maharaj being on his veranda and Gurudev moving on the ground level of the plane of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math, and whatever service responsibility, necessity, even someone could say burden, however it is required that one tax themselves, their energy, their mental well-being, they're willing to accept anxiety to see that the service in the upper world goes on unobstructed. So if someone, this is all predicated upon the fact or the reality of being engaged in substantial service. What is descended from the upper world via Guru Parampara into this plane? Right. Not karma kanda, the lower imposing one their desires upon the higher. That's not seva proper. Right. We're told that is karma kanda. Projection. The finite projecting on the infinite, someone projecting on divinity, really what is their desire, their inclination, their addiction even, right? What's descending from that plane and being accepted as service. So, and Guru Maharaj said, the benefit of this, to go back to the original aspect of this question, is saying, on our own, according to our limited capacity, we may be prone to be inattentive, distracted, absent-minded. But if I accept some responsible service, that's dhyan, that's meditation. It brings intense focus. The necessity of that service brings about the sort of focus, intensity that's needed. And then being situated in that state of intense focus, if one will take the holy name or chant the mantra, it'll be more, what's the word, productive or substantial. So the aspiration is for connection with the seva mayoyam loka. It means the spiritual world, it's not an abstract place achieved by abstract meditation, but rather it's the world of service, seva. And being fully absorbed and the service has come down to one is what is desired. Then there may be some illumination from all of these things. So Rupa Goswami expresses as he says, Atak Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavyed Grahyam Indriye. Namadi means Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila. The name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna, they're beyond the grasp of the senses, the mind, the intellect. But Sevan Mukhe Hijivaro Shayam Eva Sportita. Sevan Mukhata. But to one who is absorbed in seva and service, Krishna may reveal himself to them through divine sound, form, qualities, and pastimes. So one should never feel remorse for being absorbed in service. Rather, it'll be helpful to them.
Your broadcasts are called Dive Deep Into Reality. Could you please explain this name? What kind of reality is this?
Srila Guru Maharaj says that his ontological method springs out of the Ramananda Samvad, which is, and at the beginning of that chapter, it's the talk between Ramananda Roy and Mahaprabhu. And at the beginning of that chapter, what does it say? Sanchar Bhakti Meghe Chayamritani Bhakti Siddhanta Chayamritani Sancharja Rama Bide. Saying the Bhakti Siddhanta Sindhu, there's like an ocean of Bhakti Siddhanta, right? Which we may, someone may render that and say, oh, you know, the philosophical conclusions of Krishna Bhakti, what is ultimately to be understood. But in another place, Srila Guru Maharaj says, Siddhanta is Krishna. Shouldn't compartmentalize that and think, oh, this is some sort of philosophical understanding, and then there's Krishna himself personally. He's identical to that. That said, the Bhakti Siddhanta Chayamritani and saying, so it's like an ocean of Bhakti Siddhanta. And Ramananda Roy, he's compared to a cloud that's been generated from that ocean. It's from Mahaprabhu. And then that cloud is raining these conclusions back upon the ocean to the delight of that ocean personified, who's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So first of all, that is what is being presented there. Ostensibly with Mahaprabhu asking questions and Ramananda answering. So Mahaprabhu will say, I'm being enlightened by Ramananda. And he says a very interesting verse there, that kiba vipra, kiba nyasi, shudra kene noi, jay krishna tattva veta se guru hoy. Who is guru? He said, whether they are a vipra, a learned Brahmin, nyasi, a sannyasi, or a shudra, he's saying it transcends Varnashram. Right? Transcends social stratification, designation. Transcends Varna and Ashram. He's saying, what is the qualification? Ye Krishna Tattva Veta. Krishna Tattva, those who know the science of Krishna, say Guru Hoy. There we find Guru. So within the context of that culture, Ramananda was Shudra by occupation. So from a stereotypical point of view, he shouldn't be in the position of guru. And it's interesting when Balabhadra the great pundit. He's trying to find his way into the associates of Mahaprabhu and trying to impress them that saying, my Bhagavatam commentary surpasses that of Sridhar Swami. I know so many names of Krishna with interesting interpretations, and presenting himself in that way. Mahaprabhu stopped me and said, I only know two names of Krishna. Who is Radha and Krishna combined? He says, I only know two names, Yashoda Nandan and Shyama Sundar. And I'm not capable of knowing more. He's implying a particular quality. He's pointing in a particular direction. And with regard to Sridhar Swami, he says, Sridhar Swami, Prashade Bhagavata Jani, Jagad Guru Sridhar Swami, Guru Korimani. A pun, the Shami means Swami, like that, like spiritual and realized person, but Shami also means husband. So his play on, he said, oh, Sridhar Swami, one who does not accept the Shami is a prostitute. They're saying he's the premier commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam. If you don't accept that, you're calling your own position in the question. But in this talk, Mahaprabhu is Balabha Bhatta, in a sense, he's trying to circumvent the devotees of Mahaprabhu and for the sake of his own prestige. But Mahaprabhu starts naming these different devotees and saying why they're superior and what it is he's learned from them. He mentions Haridas Thakur, who, although Muslim by birth, he's the Namacharya. So you start seeing a pattern that everyone has some apparent disqualification that would disqualify them from what one might expect in the spiritual stereotype. They're contradicting that, but they're the substantial person. And there he includes Ramananda. Right? So in their talk, and almost underscoring who Ramananda is, when Mahaprabhu is asking him, you know, what's the ultimate goal of life? From all these different scriptures, and what is to be understood? What's the most essential thing? And Ramananda starts offering possibilities. And each one of them Mahaprabhu is rejecting. And interestingly, some is quoting Bhagavad Gita. Brahma Bhuta Prasanna, first, Varnasrama Charavata, Vishnu Aradite Pung, saying, oh, the Varnasrama system, Mahaprabhu saying, Iho Bahya Age Kaho Ar, that's external. It's meant in a particular context, it's how society marches as a body out of the mundane towards the Vaikuntha world, but it's external. He offers an Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, Nasochati Nakankshati, the generic spiritual position. Mahaprabhu is saying, well, that's external because he's on the threshold but hasn't entered the place proper. They're going back and forth, and Mahaprabhu, all the suggestions from Ramananda are being dismissed. Iho Bahya, Age Kaho, that's external, go further. This is where this comes from. Go deeper. There's some reality to what you're saying, but he's now giving a structure and a gradation. Saying that's acceptable up to a point, but go further. Go deeper. Acceptable, deeper. But these things he's saying are not even acceptable. They're being dismissed as external until Ramananda Roy says, Jnani, quote, Brahma, from the Brahma Stuti of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, after the Brahma Vimohan Leela, where Brahma, despite being the creator of the universe, is unable to estimate properly who Krishna is because of the nature of his aprakriti leela, his human-like pastimes. It's more than his four heads can get around and digest. But after Krishna reveals his divinity, Brahma's offering prayers, and in one of them, he says, Jnani prayasamudapasana manta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartam stane stita shrutigatam tanuvan manovir ye prayaso jitadito jitadjito piyasi taistrilokyam. Jnani prayasamudapasana manta eva, he's saying, stop trying to measure the infinite by finite means. I mean, he's not talking down to anyone, he's speaking to himself, really, but we all benefit from it. Saying, that won't be successful. The sum total of the finite will never be equal to the infinite. So, like Guru Maharaj will say, if we use inches or centimeters, right, and then meters, and then kilometers, and there's different ways of measuring. He said, but at a certain point, for certain types of measurement, you need to use light year. You can't say, how many inches is that? And that becomes absurd. So saying, you're way off if you're trying to deal with inches and light years. How many centimeters is that? It's a lot. No, you're, light year. So Guru said, there's a plane where you have to use the measurement of faith. Right? How the infinite reveals itself to the finite. As that gentleman challenged Guru Maharaj by saying, if the infinite could be known by the finite, he's not infinite. Guru Maharaj's response, if the infinite cannot make himself known to the finite, he's not infinite. So Brahma saying, so stop trying to measure him, measure the infinite by finite means. And Bhagavad Gita, when having revealed the Virat Rupa, the universal form, to Arjuna, and Arjuna's mind is blown, he's astonished at what he's seen, the infinite and variegated, infinite forms, variegated position, Krishna says to him, Ekam stena stito jagat. And Arjuna, this is nothing to me. What you conceive of as infinite for me is, you know, minuscule atomic finite. Guru Maharaj would remind us, who is the infinite? He's sleeping on a bed of infinite, right? For starters. He sleeps on a bed of infinite, the infinite. So Brahma is saying, so Jnani prayasamudapasana manta eva, this assertive, arrogant approach, intellectualism, this won't be helpful in approaching the infinite. Namanta means folded palms, about head, realizing the least aspect of that plane is superior to the highest aspect of myself. That's the proper approach. Jivanti sanmukharita. Satmukharita means hearing from saints, those whose faith is superiorly evolved, substantial agents of the Absolute of the Infinite. Stane stita shrutigatam tanuvan manobhyar. And this is how we think, sthanesita, whatever your position is materially, you can say it's a allusion, again, to varnashram. Whatever your position is, doesn't matter. Sthanesita shrutigatam tanuvanmonobhir. If you begin hearing from Krishna's agent, that's your first contact with reality. And it's on the basis of this sloka that this is everything up to that point is iho bahya, that's external, go deeper, that's external, go further. When Mahaprabhu hears this, he says, iho hoy, this I accept. Now go deeper, go further. So he's saying, this is the first substantial contact point with reality, is hearing respectfully, faithfully from the agent. And then it goes deeper. So when we say dive deep into reality, Srila Guru Maharaj reminds, it means the reality that is within us. This is not a reference to the physical world, right? That sort of reality. Objective reality. We're talking about subjective reality. So the general spiritual connection, and then going deeper, meaning more specific. Explain it like Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Brahman, the extremes of the infinite, all accommodating. Brahma, you know, greater than the greatest, Anor, Anayan, Mahato, Mahyan. Paramatma, smaller than the smallest, all permeating. Then Bhagavan, the central conception of the Absolute, the golden mean of the Absolute, reality, the beautiful, all attractive, all charming, all sweet. So dive deep into reality means that, as in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, from the sattva-gun of this world to beginning of near, from what do you call it? Karma Misra Bhakti, devotion mixed with some karma, to Jnana Misra Bhakti, devotion mixed with some Jnana, knowledge, intellectualism, but then to ultimately to Jnana Shunya Bhakti, knowledge free devotion, but going in gradation. So we saw in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, from the Shalagram worshipping Brahmins to the South Indian kings, to Jagannath Puri, to Indra and Indra Loka, Swarga Loka, to Brahma Loka, to Shiva Loka, crossing the Viroja River. So out of the material world, crossing the Viroja River, which is on the outskirts of the spiritual world, entering Shiva Loka, then Vaikuntha Loka of Lakshmi Narayan, to Ayodhya, Sita and Ram, to Dwaraka, Dwaraka Krishna, Rukmini Dwarakanath, Mathura Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna, Vrindavan Ahoyate, Govardhana Shaila, Gandharvika Giridhari Jata Krida Koila, to Govardhan, to Radha Kunda, Radha Kunda Tata, the banks of the Radha Kunda, to the waters of the Radha Kunda. This means dive deep into reality. But that will not be achieved out of curiosity. Right? I'm interested to see these places. As Guru said, to dive into that water, it is not water in the conventional sense. He said, it is the waters of utter and total self-sacrifice, that current of heart. You're being told, dive into that. We think it's like bungee jumping. There, in this one, there's no coming back. You're not tethered. Are you ready for that leap? The proverbial leap of faith. That's what we were talking about the other day. All, you know, no risk, no gain. all risk, no gain, all gain, no risk. So the faith that I'm leaping into the unknown. What was required? Sharanagati. That man there on the walk in Puri, Guru Maharaj, some god brothers, and one gentleman saying, so I hear about this diving deep into reality. So you can get the ultimate thing through Sharanagati, surrender. And they're going, yes, yes. Bhagavat bhakti tat sarvam iti utsri jividerapi kainkarjam krishna padaika shrayatam sharanagati. Guru Maharaj himself writing this in the beginning, the introduction of Prapanna Jivanamritam. He said, Sharanagati, surrender, is cash in the hand. Everything else is like a promissory note. Do this and you'll get that, do this. Sharanagati, cash in the hand. So the man's saying, so if I become Sharanagata, a surrendered soul, I can get him? Get them? They're saying, yes. And they're walking on the sea beach in Puri. And that man said, then tell me now, jump in the ocean, I'm ready to do that. And Guru Maharaj said that some of the other devotees on the walk, they're like, you know, what to say to this? And they looked to Guru Maharaj, and Guru Maharaj said, that is the opposite of Sharanagati. He said, an actual surrendered soul will think themselves unqualified, unfit, unsurrendered. When we talk about the sequence, you know, Shraddha, Sarusanga, Bhajana, Kriya, Anartha, Nivritti, Guru Maharaj said, a genuine Vaishnava, they will never think they have achieved Anartha, Nivritti, that they are free from pollution, unwanted things, or playing off the word artha, misconception. They'll never think like that. So he said this, that because the surrendered soul thinks of themselves in this way, they're expressing this sort of negativity. And this sort of negativity is substantial, right? It's a current that draws the positive. This puts them in a position of want, of need, of necessity. Then Krishna is reciprocating that want, that need, that necessity. Otherwise, if someone has a high estimation of themselves, in Guru Maharaj's words, he's saying, silver may not feel so much necessity to upgrade to gold. I'm silver. Saying, but you know, wrought iron may feel it. So Srila Guru Maharaj is saying, the wealth of the Vaishnava lies in the cultivation of negativity. We're conditioned by humanistic propaganda to think that negative, it's always just something bad. You know, be positive, believe in yourself. The greatest love of all is learning to love you. You got to look in the mirror in the morning and say, I love you. And don't be negative. Don't beat yourself up. Have, you know, a high estimation of yourself. You think, well, that's humanism, but it has elements of Mayavad. Soham, aham brahmasmi, I'm Brahma. Not, you know, ami tu kangal Krishna, not that. I'm Brahma. Not only am I great, I'm the greatest. Muhammad Ali used to delight everyone by saying, I'm the greatest. It was, everyone knew it was like over the top and everything, but within the context of sports or another thing. But here, for a jiva soul, the thing, ahang brahmasti, that Brahma, I'm that. That Brahma that's all pervading, the source of everything, all account, I'm that. I'm nothing less than that. Right. Soham, I'm that. Right. It's all right. Self, that's pratishta. Pratishtaratari nirjanara gauri tabahari. Whereas negativity, we're told, is not a good thing. But we see in the world of, what do they call it, alternating current? Or I'm not an electrician. But we see positive and negative, they both have their value. All these lights here, these currents are both have their necessity. And I understand sometimes negative means not good and bad. All I'm saying is not always. If we cannot break out of unidimensional stereotypical thinking, how are you going to deal with the infinite? Right? That's what Brahma is saying. I thought, how can a five-year-old with a stick in his waist and a bamboo flute picnicking on the banks of the Jamuna with cowherd boys and calves be the Param Brahma, the supreme reality? Boy, was I wrong. And I'm here to tell you about it. Janantu eva janantu kim bahukya name prabho manaso bapaso bacho vaibhavam tava gochara. He's saying, let others, they may say, I know what is Krishna. He's saying, but as far as I'm concerned, I have very little to say on this subject. But interest, that's his Vaishnava humility, but that's in the Brahma Stuti, this chapter, that like all Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Siddhanta is there in that chapter in the prayers of Brahma. But he's saying, I don't. But he means in that arrogant way that we sometimes hear is, when I had the opportunity to serve Srila Prabhupada, however momentarily, and he was inquiring, what is my serving Prabhupada lunch, and inquiring, what is my service? And I mentioned the different things I'm doing, and one of them was with a partner preaching to members of the Indian community. That caught Prabhupada's interest, you know. And I said, but sometimes Prabhupada, when we're preaching to them, they say, oh, I know what is Krishna. You know, to try and like, you don't have to tell me about this, I know what is Krishna. And Prabhupada, he said, that is their disease. I shall never forget that. It's ringing in my ears. That is their disease. It is a diseased condition for the finite to think they know the infinite. What to speak to think if they that they are the infinite. That's really taking this whole self-expression thing too far. So, but feel negativity attracts the positive. Negativity here being equated with humility. Think, I'm in want, I'm in need, I'm not qualified, I'm disqualified. What do we hear in the prayers and songs of those great devotees? They're saying, really, if you want to test the purifying power of your mercy, you won't find a more suitable candidate than me. That's a very beautiful way of saying the most fallen. Test it on me. I should be like first, and like, because if it works on me, then certainly it'll work on everybody else. So I'm staking my claim. So that will draw mercy. Without which, what hope is there for us? As we hear Portia say in The Merchant of Venice to Shylock, the quality of mercy is not strained, it droppeth like the gentle rain from heaven. It blesses those who receive, those who give, and so many things are mentioned there. But at one point she says, and what hope is there for any of us without mercy? So, what question am I responding to?
Why is this name, Dive Deep into Reality?
Oh, Dive Deep into Reality. Yeah. So, we got to the point of the first acceptable thing. Iho hoi agi kaho. Agi kaho mar means go further, but Guru Maharaj translated as so dive deep into reality. So, and I went through all the different depths of reality, right? Is there another question?
If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't take any money for his preaching, then why now, when we can spread all compositions in digital format, we still try to print them out and take money for the material books instead of distributing these wealth that doesn't belong to us in the convenient form of PDF or MP3? You don't have to pay for them, and you don't have to cut the trees.
Well, first of all, most of what we have is available freely. This is old information. But in the times of books, like printed books, printed matter, not PDFs and other things, there are two different schools of thought. There's this one, just freely distributed everywhere. There's a group, a religious group in America called the Jehovah's Witnesses. Prince was a member. And they go from door to door, and they're famous for just giving you stacks of books and their magazines. And more or less, it's understood that nobody reads them because they just give you a stack of books. So there's another school of thought that if someone pays something for this, that they treat it more respectfully and consider it something that possesses value. And we're discussing this beyond the sheer necessity of economics, that to make things freely available, there may be some cost involved. So, but at present, and you know this better than I, many, if not most of the publications we have are available in PDF format and MP3s freely. They're not being charged for. Hermann Hesse had a book called Steppenwolf. And in that book, there's a man advertising something called the Magic Theater. And he goes through the town advertising the Magic Theater. And he's saying, Magic Theater, Magic Theater. And he's saying, it's for madmen only. And the price of admission is your mind. It's for madmen only, and the price of admission is your mind. So, Guru Maharaj likes to, we're talking about Ramananda Samvad, and sometimes we're talking about the Atmarama discussion, slok discussion between Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And sometimes with regard to both, Mahaprabhu will say, Ami ekbo tu tumi dutiya. I'm a crazy man and you're the second. I'm like crazy the first, you're crazy the second. And Guru Maharaj would say, with referencing Bhagavad Gita, Yani sha sarvabhutanam tasham jagrati samyami. What is the time of awakening one is the time sleep for another, and vice versa. So he'd say, these talks, they're like madness to the people in general, this sort of discussion, this sort of pursuit. But the price
for madmen only, price of admission is your mind. Here, the price of admission is submission, submissive oral reception, the willingness to hear. Admittedly, it's not faith, fully developed in a proper sense, but the willingness to give a hearing, to submit to hearing Krishna conception from an authoritative source. That's the beginning of faith. Prabhupada once said, put it this way very simply, someone says, oh, let me hear, meaning referencing the devotees, oh, let me hear what these people have to say. That's enough. He called it submissive oral reception. Then there can be a transmission, the so-called heart-to-heart transmission. Yes.
Maharaj, can you please explain Bhaktivinoda Thakur's words, Chaitanya Vigraha? Is consciousness synonymous to reality?
What comes to mind is the sloka, Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnakshuddho Nityamukto Abhinatvam Anamano. It's Nama Chintamani Krishna. Let me say the holy name of Krishna is like Chintamani, spiritually conscious gem. And touchstone in this sense, sparshamani, means not like the English conception of it, but means has transformative power. That's what it means. But another way of rendering this sloka, as sometimes told by Srila Gurudev, is Nama Chintamani, Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, the Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's the Rasa Vigraha. Right? He is relishing the position of, it's Krishna, relishing the position of Srimati Radharani. So that's what first comes to mind, hearing these terms. But in the general sense, you say about reality, yes, consciousness is the primordial substance. Gurumaharaj says the whole objective world is like an iceberg floating in an ocean of consciousness. it is the, body, it's like an organic interface between consciousness and matter. So, because of consciousness, even because of that, we're able to make observations about the physical world, right? The external world, the objective world. What to speak of the subjective world, right? So, the subjective world, when we talk about reality proper, we're referring to that, because by that we mean that which is not constantly undergoing change, that springs up for some time and then vanishes. Right? So we have objective reality, subjective reality, but it, consciousness allows a view of both. Right? Atma and Paramatma, the soul and the oversoul, super soul. So the Paramatma world of its jiva is an atomic particle. Conscious, sometimes Guru Maharaj will say, you know, individual units of consciousness. That would be Chaitanya Vigraha in a very generic sense. Right? But when we increase the connotation of what that can mean, then we go from Atma to the Paramatma world, the Vaikuntha world, the southern hemisphere of the spiritual world, and at last to the Aprakrita Leela of Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan, and by and in its form of distributing itself in Gaura Leela, Nama Chintamani, Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Anything else?
We have heard that Krishna is the center and everyone serves him. We have also heard that the highest devotees are in competition. How does this competition not disturb the harmony of working together to serve Krishna? This is a question from Falguni Krishna.
Falguni?
Falguni Krishna.
Like in music, right? There's a, you know, counterpoint. One melody is going like this, another melody is going seemingly in another way, counter to that. Why is it called counterpoint? But overall, it's a type of harmonic structure. It's all part of the same song, and it's going towards, has a particular end in mind. So it's a competition of dedication. Guru Maharaj will sometimes mention, for example, that Vatsalya Rasa and Madhura Rasa are naturally antagonistic toward one another. And you say, what? How? Saying, Yashoda and Vatsalya Rasa. She thinks, Krishna, he is exhausted from all this cow herding. Right? And she wants him to like have a nice meal, bathe, have a nice meal, and get a good night's sleep. The Braja Gopis, they want to rendezvous with Krishna in the dead of night, in the dark of the Vrindavan forest. So you've got this one group of servitors, they want Krishna coming in this direction. Another group of servitors, like that. So, but this is delightful. It's creating some tension, dramatic tension, the dramatic tension of Leela, right? Or what's necessary for Parakya Bhav, the what is forbidden or apparently illicit. The circumstances created to allow for these tasteful sort of things. Like Guru Maharaj mentioned the an example partially, but I can give it in maybe another way. Sound like the neem tree, right? You have sweet neem, it just means the sweet side of bitter, but the bitter leaves. But What if you made it, so it's a tree that produces something better. What if you made something that's just, it's every aspect of it is sweet? So I was, when I thought about this, I remembered, like, and I think they do this probably everywhere, like the cooks, you make like a sweet or something, but it looks like a tree or it looks like something else. Right? There are different stamps you can do, different forms you can make. The whole thing is sweet. All it is, it's a sweet. But there, it's taking the shape of something else. Right? Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. So, Guru Maharaj, what he's saying is, so in Krishna Leela and the pastimes, there are all these different things constructed. Right. Competition, disagreement, intense, passionate positions held by different servitors. You think, but it's all constructed out of sweetness. That's the point. Madhura rasa is the predominant rasa of Goloka Vrindavan. So it's there in the background of everything. So everything is sweet. So there's sweet disagreement, and what another place Guru Maharaj called it nectar biting. There's biting, but there's no sting. So there's fighting, but there's no sting. When the pastimes of Krishna, when and that Saraswati Thakur mentioned with regard to the fight that takes place on recovering the Shyamantaka jewel. Prasen. So at one point, it's a rather long, involved story, but at one point, a lion is devouring a king. Prasen. Simha Prasen. And Guru Maharaj, he said, but in this play, this divine play, this divine pastime, the lion is in ecstasy devouring the king. The king is in ecstasy being devoured by the lion. So we say, how is that possible? We're talking Leela pastimes. Well, in the movie, sometimes they give the Academy Award to the actor who plays the evil person. And later when they're interviewing them about that, they'll say, what a joy it was to play such an evil character. And I say, normally I play the good guy. But in this, it was just really wonderful to play someone that evil. So even here we have some experience of that. So why should we be surprised if in the upper world, in the spiritual world, the devotees are playing these different roles? Passionately, with great intensity, and somehow this apparent conflict or competition is promoting the lila. It's not a disturbance to it. Right? Even in and Krishna's Prapancha Lila here, the appearance of different demons. It's a wonderful thing, you know, that brings out different dimensions and aspects and sweetness of Krishna's pastimes. So that Vishwanath says in one place, because they're in a sense, not only in a sense, but in reality, engaged in, you know, never-ending, ever-increasingly ecstatic pastimes. You know, they have to break for lunch sometimes. And sometimes while they're having lunch, you know, a gasura appears to devour everyone. Seems like a demonic theme park. You know, putana and the childhood pastimes. But these other so-called demons or asuras appear, and it creates dramatic tension that allows Krishna to act in a heroic way, or many, his pastimes are always multi-dimensional. He may be showing heroic nature in one aspect, but someone's being liberated in the process. And just before the Rasa Leela, in some context, you know, Krishna's desiring Rasa Leela, and as we discussed in Radha Kund, Aristasura appears on the scene. Like, you can imagine, I mean, that is, you know, absolutely spiritually annoying. It's what, I mean, just to appear at any time, it would have been enough, you would think, right? That one day, you know, it's not just one day. While Krishna's desiring Rasa Leela, Aristasura appears at that time. And so many things happen. And what happens? That Krishna dispenses with, he comes in the form of a bull. He dispenses with him. And then Radharani and Brajagopi, because of this, on the pretext that Krishna is now contaminated, he's done not only something sinful, but the bull represents dharma or religion. And you can read into that whatever you want. It's like Sarvadharma, Paritraja. Dharma Projita Kaita Votra. Anyway, he's done this very adharmic thing and needs to purify himself by bathing in every holy place and holy river and all that. And what is Krishna? Because where Aristasura had put his hoof down to this type, these sweet Krishna Leela pastimes, there was a, what would you call it? Indentation, but like a ditch. Not more than a ditch, you know, a kunda-sized ditch. Krishna summoned all the holy places, holy rivers. They all appear there in Shamakund. He bathes, and, you know, because there the Radharani and Brajagopis are thinking, like, how long will it take him to do that if he has to go to every holy place and bathe in every river there? But Krishna summoned them all. Their personifications came, appeared there, and so Krishna bathes there and says, "What's next?" And that leads to Radharani and her Brajagopis creating Radha Kunda. So how? Then you think. So then, if you look at this thing, oh, then all of this apparent disturbance, competitiveness, all of these things. It's just promoting the sweetness of the Leela and revealing the Dhamna Svena Sadan, or the abode of the Lord. So everything is there, but constructed out of the ultimate sweetness. Hare Krishna. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Kesavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra. Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra. Sada Tada Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Rupa Sanatam Bhata Raguna. Sri Jiva Gopala Bhata Dasa Raguna. Chai go chai kori karana bandhan. Jaha hoite vignanash abhishta puran. Chai go chai jarmui taradas. Tang sabara padarenu mora panjagra. Tandera charana sevi bhakta sanevas. Janame janame more abilas. Chai go chai jabe braje koilavas. Radha Krishna nitya lila korilo prakash. Anande bolo hari vaja vrindavan. Guru Vaishnava Pade Majai Aman. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pad Padma Koriya. Hari Nam Sankirtan Kohe Narottamada. Hey Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gita Gaura Hari Bo. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajaka Charjasa Terasata Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Jai Saparikar Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Gandharva Govinda Sundar Ju Ki Jai. Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Sri Swarup Ramananda Ki Jai. Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadeep Dham Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai. Sri Gupta Govardhan Ki Jai. Ganga Devi, Jamuna Devi, Bhakti Devi, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Om Vishnu Pad Visvavarini Srilesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mata Charja Brinda Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Bhimala Vadut Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Ranjan Madhusudan Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Srimati Bhakti Lalita Devi Dasi Ki Jai. Seva Brinda Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakti Brinda Ki Jai. Nitai Go Premanande.
Jai Srila Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Yeah.